can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day. It is our prayer that right after the monologue, you'll pick up the telephone and dial 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. When you dial that telephone number, it goes right through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. As we look at the truth book, we understand that there's nothing but truth in the Word of God. In fact, in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "If you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the Bible says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to recognize as being the first, foremost, and final truth factor. And as we look at the truth book, we understand that the Word of God is the final authority, according to John 17:17. Thy word is truth. But ladies and gentlemen, we find that today, it falls into the category of very much like George Orwell said, the secularist, in Yesteryear. He said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see happening today. That's exactly what we see taking place each and every day. And as we face the issues, let me remind you that there are those that claim there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint made the statement, I'm reading the headline, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. It is the death of truth. In fact, Jim DeMint said this, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that truth matters, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on politically, regardless of where you are denominationally, regardless of where you are philosophically, truth still matters. And yet we have those today. I'm reading a headline, most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, the article starts out by defining truth. It says the Webster's Dictionary says truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being in the case of fact for truth. But yet 55% of the millennials, according to this article, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. They say, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. It is truth, or it is not truth. A half-truth is a whole lie, ladies and gentlemen. We can't take a partial truth, a half-truth, or a modified truth and call it truth. It is everything but truth. We need to recognize that. I'm looking at a headline, a large article, Western Society Will Be Destroyed Without the Commitment to Truth, this article reads. Says the American institutions are suffering from a collapse of public support. Among those institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. And it goes on to talk about education, says there's no more serious problem than the notion fashionable in academia today and for decades that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if we lose truth, we've lost our nation. We've lost society. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love it, tell it, live it, and defend it, even to death. That's my position. That's my challenge each and every day right here on Let's Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, and Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Where is that? That's located right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark on the campus of Tools for Time. It's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a brief monologue. After the monologue, we're going to introduce our very special guest today and get the guest along with myself. And you, as our callers, will be talking about, discussing, who is Charlie Kirk? It will take a deaf person not to know or have heard about Charlie Kirk, a one that has not read the news, looked at the news, listened to the news at all, not to know who Charlie Kirk is. But I want us to get to the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental, down under the rug, if you please, of looking at Charlie Kirk. We've seen multitudes of voices in society today. The world has now heard of Charlie Kirk. Around the world, around the globe. In fact, millions, according to my research, millions of people around the globe viewed the Charlie Kirk Memorial Services online. Well, about 200,000 were in the arena and grounds around the arena and in a building across the street from the main arena, over approximately 200,000 people. Now, I've heard the media, some of the media say over 100,000, one said 150,000. I think the truest number is probably around 200,000 was present for Charlie Kirk's memorial service. Ladies and gentlemen, so who is Charlie Kirk? I'm going to give a little brief thumbnail sketch, then we'll introduce our guest today, and we're going to talk about who is Charlie Kirk. What did he do? What was his message? Why was he hated? What happened? And as a result of his assassination, what is taking place today? What are some of the voices? What are some of the outcomes? What are some of the things that are being said and done that's as a result of Charlie Kirk's murder? Keep in mind, it is God that's still on the throne. It is God that's still watching over all. It is God that's still sovereign. It is God that still has the whole wide world in his hand. And it's God that can take evil, wicked deeds and turn them into good. We see that in the scripture when we read in the Bible in Romans chapter 8. And it says there, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And as sad as it might sound, as bad as it might sound, as horrific as it may be, God can still take evil, wicked, horrific things and turn them around for good. And I believe we're witnessing that today. So who is Charlie Kirk? From the Marxist media standpoint, he was a fascist. From the Communist Democratic Party standpoint, Charlie Kirk was an activist preaching hate. From the conservative Christian viewpoint, Charlie was a father, a husband, a conservative, a true follower of Jesus Christ, and an avid witness for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. From the conservative patriot standpoint, Charlie was a warrior for truth, a standard bearer for our founding documents, and a voice crying in the wilderness of darkness, seeking to reach America and America's youth with the truth. So just what was Charlie Kirk's message? And what was the message on every campus endeavor that he involved himself in? We're going to talk about that today, because Charlie Kirk uses his key verse, Isaiah 6:8, where Isaiah said to God, "Here am I, send me." And I've said for quite some time now, several days, we need more and more Christians that will say to God, "Here am I, send me." Here is an article that says, Charlie Kirk's memorial is simply a Nazi rally. Listen to this. He has made a name for himself over the past couple of weeks for saying horrible things, including openly mocking Erica Kirk. In the wake of Charlie Kirk's tragic assassination, Charlie Kirk's memorial is indistinguishable from a Nazi rally, this writer said. We need conservatives to be afraid of getting killed when they go into events, so that they took their leadership so they're to look at their leadership and turn down the temperature. The issue is right. Right now, they don't feel like they have any fear. Conservatives have been disgusting for years, this writer says, which is why I don't give a blank about anybody who winds up being shot at a rally like Charlie Kirk. That's the mindset of the wicked, evil, dark world that we're living in. In fact, I have documents right on my desk now, dozens and dozens of documents, talking about across the nation, those in professional levels, even doctors, nurses, pilots, school teachers, professors, politicians, that are all raving maniacs, in my most humble opinion, that's praising the shooter and condemning the one that's been assassinated, Charlie Kirk. So who is Charlie Kirk? Who was Charlie Kirk? What did he do? And what is the status today? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us on Let's Face the Issues today a very special guest, one that we've had with us a number of times, one that I have great admiration and respect for because of his honesty, his integrity, and his stand on the Word of God. And as we talk about issues, we do so with a unified heart and thought in relationship to what the Word of God says. We have with us today the former District 1 representative for the Florida State House, Representative Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for taking time to join us on the broadcast today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me on your show. I do appreciate that. Dr. Youngblood, something I do want to mention about this whole Charlie Kirk shooting incident, you'll note that it wasn't too long after that Congress increased their funds, their budgets, for them to have security. And the whole idea is they're saying that we are in a position now with our nation of being uncivilized, no civility, and everyone needs protection because of the hate speech that's going around. And they're blaming a lot of that on the incident with Charlie Kirk. Well, what we're seeing, Dr. Youngblood, is the definition of terrorism. Mm-hmm. The person who shot Charlie Kirk was a terrorist. Mm-hmm. And their whole goal is to spread fear, to spread terror. And that's what we're seeing when we see Congress doing things like increasing their security. It worked, in other words, was to spread fear and terror.
Absolutely. And you touched on that, and it comes to my mind. In the House, Mike Johnson had introduced a resolution to recognize Charlie Kirk. And out of the House members, I believe it was almost 60 of the Democrats refused to recognize Charlie Kirk as a memorial memorization of the work that Charlie Kirk had done. That should tell us who's on what side of the aisle and where we are in relationship to it. And you talked about the increasing of the security for those that are going out publicly speaking, especially those House members and the political move. We just witnessed the shooting of an ICE headquarters where a terrorist shot from a rooftop into a van carrying three undocumented aliens in America that they had picked up. The ICE members had picked up, shot through the wall of the van, injured two, killed one, and then shot himself, as I understand it. We're witnessing the temperature increasing with the ire and the hatred and the animus and the revenge and the attacking that I believe is coming from the left and from the vocabulary of those, the Marxist media and the Socialist Communist Democratic Party. Now, what say you? Do we find that what's taking place, can we place a finger of blame on a party or a distinguished group and say that's the cause factor of what is happening?
I'm not so sure we can point at a particular party, Dr. Youngblood. It's an ideology
yes.
that we're seeing. It's a movement, and Antifa has been identified as a terrorist organization, and justifiably so. And what we're seeing, though, are a lot of members who are on the left, a lot who are a part of the Democrat Party, seem to identify with wanting to spread this terror, because we look at it historically, Dr. Youngblood, whenever the left, whenever Democrats are not in power, they use violence to make statements, to get their way, or to spread terror. We have seen that historically, not only just in America, but around the world. Those who line up with the left when it comes to ideology, which it leans more towards anti-government, more towards fascism, more towards anarchy, when they are not in power, they will use violence to make a statement or to get their way.
Absolutely. And it's my prayer, Congressman, that with the move by President Trump with the executive order naming Antifa as a terrorist organization, what they intend to do, they, the president and his leadership team, is to dig under the banner of activity and see who's funding these organizations. They don't just happen spontaneously. They're not something that they're the people out on the street burning buildings and killing people and shooting at people and destroying vehicles. They don't pay for that themselves. They're being paid. In fact, we discovered very recently that there's an organization, I've forgotten the name of the organization, that funds some of these terrorist activities, i.e. the demonstrations and the rioters, by about $200 a day to go out wave signs and throw bricks and throw rocks and try to destroy what we would call a constitutional republic. And so I'm prayerful that President Trump's team will get to the bottom of it. And I think George Soros and other organizations like the Soros organizations, George Soros has, I believe it's 209 or 210 corporate entity organizations that's funding for major activities like this around the globe. So it's my prayer that we're seeing a turn in the road, if you please, that can get to the point of stopping some of this. But getting back to the thought of what's brought this all to a head today, and it's being part of the conversation across the world, and that is Charlie Kirk. Very simply, summarization. Tell our listeners, who is Charlie Kirk?
Charlie Kirk is one who, actually, I met Charlie Kirk, Dr. Youngblood, many years ago, when he was just getting started. This was back in 2014, maybe 2015. And I was in office at that time and was asked to come speak at an event he was putting on down in the Tampa area. It was being held at a hotel, and I, along with a couple of others, I think there were about four of us total, state representatives, were asked to come, Florida state representatives, asked to come speak at this Charlie Kirk event. And I went to speak, and before the event started, we had lunch. And it was a little table that would seat about 6 to 8 people, and Charlie Kirk was right across from me, and we were eating lunch, and at that time, he was asking for funding, because his Turning Point USA was just getting off the ground. And he was asking for funding for a Turning Point. And I'm looking at this guy. He was just a kid, 19, maybe 20 years old at the time. And he had, there was an elderly gentleman who was sitting with us also. And he was giving a lot of the rationale of why the Turning Point USA should be receiving funding. Why, listen to them both. I will admit, I didn't give any money at that time because I didn't take him really serious. I thought, you know, nice guy. He's doing a good thing. And I went in to speak, and it was to a room full. I would say there were probably 200, perhaps, young Hispanic students who were in the audience. And most of them had signs that they were holding up that says communism, and please forgive my language, communism sucks. And they were holding these signs up. And those were the attendees at this conference that he had called. And the whole idea was to talk about capitalism, to talk about the Constitution, to talk about the American system, to talk about conservatism. And so that's how I met Charlie Kirk. In no way, when I'm sitting listening to this young man, and since then, as I have watched him on various clips and speak at other venues, never did I hear him spew out hatred. Never did I hear any racist thoughts or comments come from Charlie Kirk. What I saw was a patriot, someone who loved this country, someone who wanted to see it go and fulfill its destiny from the very beginning when this nation was founded as a Christian nation based on freedom. And that's the only way capitalism works, is to be free from government intervention as much as possible, except for rules and laws which have to be in place to protect us from the bad actors. But that's what I saw in Charlie Kirk, a visionary, someone who was patriotic, conservative, and Christian.
Absolutely. That brings me to the point, and I have summarized, and I've probably listened to and watched 50, 75, 100 of Charlie Kirk's speeches, lectures, etc., etc. I've yet to hear anything that you could put in a vocabulary confine of hate speech. I've yet to hear one word. In fact, conversely, I've watched Charlie Kirk as he would communicate with those that were adamantly opposed to him, standing against him, standing against his ideological bent of truth and things that God's Word speaks of. And yet, not one time did I see him in anger and hostility say anything hateful. Now, sometimes he'd be pretty curt and to the point, and would make the spokesperson that was against what he was saying, allow them to speak first, and then he would respond. But what I saw was he was saying, America is worth fighting for. What I saw in Charlie Kirk was God created only two genders, male and female. He didn't create a confused gender phobia person. He didn't create a transgendered person. Charlie Kirk said a number of times, a woman can't be transitioned to a man. A man cannot transition to a woman. And he said, as he spoke to college students, he said the major thing he would always tell them, and I think in just about every student campus rally that he would have, I think in each one of them, he challenged the college students to, quote, get married, have children, and be for the man to lead the home and family worship and honor God and go to church. That was always his mantra in each and every case. And yet, Congressman, I've got an article in my hand, Divine Permission to Rule. Don Lemon rages over Christian messages at Charlie Kirk's memorial. While millions of Americans were touched with and inspired by uplifting messages during Charlie Kirk's memorial services, former CNN anchor, I'm glad it's former, is seething over the Christian content, saying the event was about a movement claiming divine permission to rule America. If you listened long enough, he says, you could feel the ground shifting beneath beneath you, because it wasn't about a man who died. This was about a movement claiming divine permission to rule. Listen to what Lemon says. It was a revival meeting wrapped in a memorial, a political rally dressed as a church, end quote. How do you respond to I'm going to leave it blank and not call him a name, but how do you respond to this kind of communication?
Well, what we're seeing is, I think, first of all, coming from Don Lemon is simply jealousy. Mm-hmm. He's seeing someone who is being memorialized because of what he stood for. And because Charlie Kirk did often espouse Christian values and ideals, then if you're going to memorialize someone, then it's going to be based around that. And what we see coming from the left, first of all, it makes it so obvious, Dr. Youngblood, that we battle not against flesh and blood,
yes,
but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Whenever you see Christianity being preached, being espoused, being spoken openly, it will always be attacked by by those on the left, by those who are evil, the spiritual wickedness. And so when he saw what Don Lemon saw, and you can agree with him or not, whether or not that this was a spiritual movement wrapped up, it was a patriotic movement wrapped up in Christianity, perhaps it was. And that's not a bad thing.
That's right.
It's not a bad thing at all. But he was jealous of the attention that was being given, because he no longer gets that kind of attention. He's been fired from his job because of a poor job he was doing, poor ratings, mm-hmm. and he was fired. And so he was jealous of that. So, Don Lemon, I wish you the best, and I wish that you would come around and see the truth in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, absolutely. Congressman Hill, I'm looking at a newsletter from Turning Point USA, and it says it's from Erica. My husband, Charlie Kirk, was the love of my life. You may know him as a fighter for freedom, a warrior for truth, the founder of Turning Point USA, the host of a nationally syndicated radio show, and a bold conservative voice that gave courage to a generation. But to me, he was just Charlie. He was my best friend. He's the father of our two babies, the man who made me laugh when the world felt too heavy, the man who every single morning, without fail, would ask me, how can I love you better today? I think that summarizes the Charlie Kirk that we've all seen and heard. I think that summarizes the man that was assassinated. And I think it was as a result of that heart, that life, that commitment that was open to live for not just for trying to protect America, not just for the constitutional republic that we have, not just for our founding documents that gives us the liberties and the freedoms that we have today that was first given by God, codified in the Constitution, but I believe it was an individual that loved the Lord, and as he said when he would quote Isaiah 6:8, "Hear my send me," and he said he wanted to be that messenger that would honor the Lord in his life. I'm looking at another Turning Point USA newsletter. Charlie Kirk was my friend, not just someone I admired, but someone I loved and respected deeply. Losing him was devastating. In many ways, all of us share this loss. Charlie fought every day of his life for each of us, fighting to keep America great, free, and prosperous. No one I know ever fought any harder than Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk poured out his heart into building a movement to save America. He believed in young people. He believed in ordinary Americans. He believed that even in the darkest hours, America was a beacon for goodness and faith and freedom and values. End quote. I think that probably summarizes it better than I could. But Congressman Hill, Charlie Kirk was claimed to be preaching hate, and the 22-year-old assassin that took his life is now the hero rather than the villain in the hearts and the lives of many that are speaking on America today. And I've got a list as long as your arm of different groups and different individuals across America that have been vilifying Charlie Kirk and making a hero out of the villain that murdered Charlie Kirk. What do you say when we see that in society? We've got just a few seconds before our news break, but start that thought and we'll pick it up after the news break.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, it's a shame. It's a shame that they would praise the murderer, the killer, and then denigrate the one who was just simply preaching the truth.
Yes.
So that gives you a good idea of where they stand in our society.
Absolutely. Hold your thought for a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, hang on there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.